match. All right, everyone, welcome back to another episode of The Sportsman. We have Joey D, as always. We have Mikey V, as always, and myself, Ticket. Gentlemen, let's get it out of the way right away. Today, we promised that we were going to have Kyle Long on the show today. We said it on Instagram, but unfortunately, he wasn't able to make it. He was Mikey's guest. I'll let Mikey sort of walk us through what happened there.
Yeah, I mean, Kyle had what every dad can appreciate have happened to him in his house, where both of his kids got sick at the same time, both toddler age kids. When that happens, all bets are off with anything, because he, you know, your wife certainly is not going to handle two sick children. One sick child, you can make that work. Two, she needs all the help she could get. Totally understandable. He will be on most likely next week for draft reaction. He sends his apologies to the Sportsman faithful. He was looking forward to it. I can tell you that, and has since spoken to me a couple times about next week. So that's the goal, is to get a draft NFL draft reaction show with Kyle. And I think it'll be a good episode overall, because he just posted a pic of him, Perez, and his brother today on Instagram, because they were all golfing together. So he's definitely our speed type of guy, and it'll be a fun interview when he comes on next week.
He's sorry, we're sorry, but we'll have him next week. Sounds like a good excuse. I don't have any kids, but that sounds like a reasonable thing.
Yeah.
Sounds right.
Anytime it's something to do with kids, you just can't even question.
But you know, it's one thing if it's like, oh, you know, like the kid had a game or something like that. But when the kids are sick, like, it is, because inevitably, like, one of the parents gets sick also, like, something is going to, either you or your wife's going to get sick as well. So, And when you get toddler age kids and they're in daycare and school, it's like, it's just a revolving door. It's like every other month there's an illness going through the house. If you're lucky to get, some people I know, it's every month they get something. So, I mean, knock on wood, I haven't had anything here in a little bit, but I mean, it's just inevitable. And when it happens, you got to be there to support your partner. And I totally get it. So hats off to Kyle for even, you know, he didn't have to go to the lengths of to which he explained it, but we'll look forward to having him. But I still think this show will be very, very entertaining, I believe.
As it always is.
We shall see.
As it always is. It is true, though. Not talking about Kyle at all. Totally understand. And I'm thrilled to have him next week. But it is a true thing about people with kids. It's like they have an excuse that just works every time all of a sudden.
Oh, that's right.
You're allowed to be late for the rest of your life.
Yeah. And you know what? But you know what? He doesn't really strike me as that type.
No, I'm not talking about him at all.
Yeah. I just mean in general. But you're 100% right. Like, if ever, like, I'll be honest. I mean, this week I pulled out of something on Monday night that I didn't really want to do because of the kids. Not Monday night, but like Monday afternoon, like late afternoon, I had something. And guy kept pressing me. I was like, listen, I got to go to karate or something. I just made something up. It was a white lie. But you know what? I just couldn't handle it anymore. I had to get out. So, you know, it happens. But when they're sick again, like I said, that's really like it. That's not even something you would rather be anywhere else than when your kids are sick, man, because it's just a heartbreaker when your kids, because they don't know how to really deal with that. You know what I mean? They don't get it. Like, they don't get like medicine. They don't get like, they're just like, so not themselves. It throws you for a loop, but, hopefully.
I tell you what, when I have kids, I'm going to use them as scapegoat all the time.
Sure. And as you should. I mean, listen, that's part of the luxury of having kids. You know, they're very expensive. They take up all your time. Your life changes. At the very least, you should be able to get that out of
it. I feel like I'll be earned that.
Yes, I agree.
Bro, that's going to be great, man. Bob already thinks that I'm like a bailer. Like, he thinks that I bail on stuff. Yeah. If I have kids, you're not going to see me.
I'll never see Tick again.
I'm going to be fucking out, dog.
Hey, listen, man. Listen. The older I get, the less shit I want to do. So it's fine.
Yeah. But like, for normal people, that position you were in on Monday night with your buddy, like, I would have either had to, A, fucking just go, or two, come up with, or just tell him, be like, don't want to go. But the
here's the thing is like, do you ever give someone all the hints, like,
Right. Yeah, sure.
You know what I mean? Like, I really can't. I really can't. And, like, they just don't get the hint. Like, at that point, I'm just like, all right, you want me to pull out the fucking nuke? You want me to go to DEFCON 4? That's what I'll do. Dom's got karate. It is what it is. Press the button.
That's the thing, though, Mikey, is if you...
But I gave all the hints.
But if you give the hints and then you drop the kids sound like bullshit now. If you don't give anything and then you just use the kids... Then I believe your story
right,
about
but
the
I
kids.
Didn't. I really wanted to give the B of the D, the benefit of the doubt. I really did. I wanted to give benefit of the doubt and just say, you got to pick up what I'm throwing down here. I'm laying out all the clues like it ain't going to happen today. Let's just move on to it. I even gave another day option and still.
I hate people who press.
And then I finally was like, listen, man, I got the kids. And yes, Ticket, maybe you're right. I should have, but I tried to give the benefit of the doubt. But
no,
once you drop the kid bomb, even if they know it's bullshit, what are you going to tell me? Fuck your kid? At that point, I wish you would have said that. Then I got a reason. I never even have to speak to you ever again. Then it's an even better thing. That worked.
It didn't work out that way.
I'm just saying.
Mikey's just looking for any reason just to never talk to this guy again.
All right. Well, moving on here. Moving on to Mikey Mulligans, in fact.
Oh, Mikey
getting back out there. Wanted to know how quickly he would lose that ball of his. I said clearly under 4.5 holes.
Good call.
Yeah, I figured. How'd it go out there, Mike?
I only lost 2 balls the whole round. Whoa! Which I thought was pretty good. 2 balls, maybe 3. I think 2, but maybe 3. Shot 107. You know,
that's the second time, Mike.
That's not terrible.
Second time I've been out. I never played this course before. A county course, nice course. It was a beautiful day.
Second time you've been out since the winter. You mean, right?
Yes. Yeah. I'm playing again Friday. So
good for
you,
man.
At least getting out with a little bit more consistency. You know, my short game let me down. My putting was not good. And my putting is usually where I can make up some disasters off the tee box and stuff like that, but it wasn't. Stuck a couple really nice wedge shots, one right onto the green from about 100 out, which was like my best shot of the day. But you know, it's frustrating. You know, it's frustrating. You hit a shot like that and then you can't get off the tee box.
Yeah,
and like,
that's just how it is, man.
It's extremely frustrating. And the putting really got me aggravated. I had 2 longer putts that were hard putts that lipped out, 2 of them on the round. I was motherfucking, I threw my club. Like it was frustrating. It was fresh. But I will say this, it's just great to get out there. And it is great to just be out there when the weather's nice. And especially, here, I don't get to get out often. So when I do, especially if we get a weather day like we had yesterday, it was like 62 degrees and sunny, not a cloud in the sky. It wasn't hot, like where you're uncomfortable, and it wasn't freezing cold. It was just like perfect. It was perfect, perfect weather. So it was great. It was great. Had a good time.
Nice. That's awesome.
All right. Moving on before we're going to do a mock draft a little bit. We're going to sort of probably let Mikey and Joe a little bit run most of that. I'll chime in here and there, but we will get to that. But real quick before we do, just some quick news. Not even that big of a deal, but Zach Wilson leaving the Jets, heading to the Broncos. Big deal. Do you give a shit? What are the Broncos
I'm shocked they got a 6th-round pick for him.
What are they even
want? Well, it was an exchange of a 6th and a 7th, right? Or whatever the fuck it was.
Nah, it's so bad.
Their quarterback room is dog water. You would think, I mean, Denver's got to be looking to trade up. I mean, they have to be, I would think.
I mean,
Zach Wilson is not good, man.
Why would they even want him though, Mike? How would they trade up by getting him?
No, I'm saying I think they'll still look to trade up in the draft.
What's the point of getting rid of a 6th-rounder for a guy like Zach
Wilson? I mean, you know,
I
think people, you know, there's a couple things about the NFL draft that I think, you know, some fans may have confused. Number one, I think football fans have a very tough time of really evaluating what a round pick is worth. Like whenever a player is going to get traded from your team, fans from the team, I always feel like, oh, we got to get a 2nd-rounder for him minimally. We got to get a 3rd-rounder minimally. And it usually turns out that it never works out that way. And you get a 5th or a 6th-rounder for somebody. And Ticket, to just double down on that for the Broncos end, I mean, the Broncos maybe number one think that bringing him into a place like Colorado, a place like Denver, may be a little bit more friendly than a New York media for him. Closer to maybe, you know, where he played at BYU, of course. Maybe more his speed, but also the risk reward there. You know, a sixth round, seventh round pick is, for that pick to parlay into a starter is a very, very rare thing in the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, you just don't see teams regularly pick sixth, seventh round guys that become starting caliber players. Maybe they'd be a good special teamer. Maybe, you know, they work their way into rotational situations. But so I think the risk is low enough to just roll the fucking dice on him and just see what, you know, maybe something happens. But I just think it's such a low risk deal for Denver, and it doesn't preclude them from still making a move come draft night.
Wasn't Tom Brady a sixth round pick?
Yes. Pick 199, right? 199.
That was Brock Purdy too, right?
Yeah. I mean, listen, guys,
again, every once in a while it does happen.
It does happen. But I'm saying, if you compare sixth, seventh round picks that didn't hit, to ones that did, it's a staggering difference. But yes, Joe.
I'm just joking around.
There's gems late in the draft all the time, and that's where the real good GMs make their money. I mean, when they
I would put a healthy wager on the fact that that sixth round pick ends up being a lot more impactful than Zach Wilson ever is to the Broncos.
Could be
this
could
guy. Be. I mean, this guy, Zach Wilson's going to turn into one of these guys that just hangs around the league for years and he has no right to.
But you know what? If he reconciles the fact with his agent and himself that he is a backup quarterback, perhaps that could be a good career for him.
Why not?
Why not?
Yeah.
Last year, he was a bona fide backup. And, you know, the way that things played out with Aaron Rodgers getting hurt, he got thrusted into a starting role. Yeah, but I don't think anybody and their mother thought that Zach Wilson was going to be starting, you know, for the New York Jets.
But I think like Ticket said, and it could be, he could be like that Mitch Trubisky. I mean, he could be like that guy, second overall pick in a draft, same thing, second overall pick in a draft, you know, highly touted coming out, combine, this, that, and the other thing. And just, it's going to be a career. Now, the difference is Trubisky did go to the playoffs one year and did have a pretty decent year his sophomore year. But after that, it was all downhill. But career backup. I mean, it'll be a career backup now. And maybe that's what Wilson will be. But that's not a bad career, to be honest.
But the worst nightmare for a guy who knows he's a backup is for the starter to get injured and you have to come and play most of the season.
Oh,
100%. Oh, yeah.
You're going to show your cards.
You're like, oh, shit, man. You know, that's very good. That's very true. That's very true.
Thanks, exactly, God. What happened last year, too.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I'm shocked.
No, you know, that's like, let's say, like, that's, you know what that's like? I'll give a baseball parallel. Last night, the Yankees, you know, Clay Holmes had pitched too many innings or had thrown too many pitches over the last 4 days, whatever. Yankees had to bring in their non-closer in a 0-0 ball game. Guy blows it. I mean, and you know that guy coming out is like, fuck, in front of the home crowd, I got to go in front. Like, that's not the spot that guy probably wants to be in. Now, some guys are gamers and they're like, no, fuck it, give me the ball. But I would imagine that a lot of those guys in the bullpen in the major leagues that are, you know, not the closer role guy, maybe not even a true setup guy that get thrust into a big spot like that in front of the home crowd. Yeah, they're probably a little uncomfortable with that. That's probably not the spot they want to be in. They want to pitch that middle relief or that seventh inning or something like that. But the NFL is it's cruel. No team's quarterback, very rare, is going to start all 17 games now. It's tough.
Not everybody's built for pressure.
It's true.
That's true, too.
Actually, some would say very few people are built for pressure.
Would you say that you're built for pressure, John?
Yes, you would.
Me?
Yeah.
Not a chance.
Really?
Oh, I don't think that's true.
Tick, when have I come through under pressure?
In every...
When have
in
I
in every
ever...
situation in our friendship other than golf?
Okay, other than golf, yes.
Correct.
As a friend,
I feel
most
like
of our
golf,
lives are.
Dude, golf, like, I don't know, man. To be able to just hit, I don't know. Golf, I don't know.
I feel like so often when I'm under pressure in golf, when I need to make the big shot or make a big putt, I'm walking up to
random.
That.
It's too random.
I'm walking up to that ball and I'm like, there's probably no chance I'm making it. And I actually feel like when I do say that to myself, the fact that I don't expect to make it actually takes a little pressure off me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sometimes actually, you need a little bit of that pressure.
It actually puts me in a position that I'm cutting it, or I'm taking the shot expecting not to do well, that it actually takes a little of the edge off.
Mm.
But sometimes you need that edge to actually make the good shot.
And I don't have a tick.
I've seen you make some big shots. I've seen you make a few. I mean,
not under pressure.
No, but you know what? When you were working at the hotel, under pressure, Joey D was a good
or at the restaurant when the big timers used to come in.
That was a different man.
In the evening, at the peak dinner rush, when Cutsy's got to pull a filet mignon out of his ass for Wes Welker when he walks into the...
I tell you what, man, I used to walk on water in that fucking hotel, man. And that was a different guy, though. That was totally different.
And when that guy tried to rob the restaurant, tried to leave without paying, you fucking tackled his ass.
Oh, yeah.
I gotta be honest, great pressure moment. I love that. The restaurant Joe was good, though. That was a good Joe. I like that Joe.
He was great under pressure.
That was that was a different guy, man.
It was a long time ago. This episode of The Sportsman is brought to you by BetterHelp. Guys, what's the first thing you'd do if you had an extra hour in your day? Maybe go for a run, take a nap, read a book, watch TV, maybe aimlessly scroll through your phone. That's what I do. Listen, we all have very busy schedules, and a lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze more time into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. It's not just for people who've experienced major trauma. Every one of us can learn from therapy. It can help empower you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which, let's face it, we all have busy schedules. Lord knows Joey D and Mikey B have very busy schedules. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist that best fits you. And if you ever need to, you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/sportsman today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/sportsman. All right, let's move on to the NFL draft preview, the mock. We're going to go through here and talk about round one, most of it at least, kind of talk about where we think guys are going to land, certainly the top 10. And you know what, Joe? Kudos to us, because within the last week or so, Jaden Daniels now all of a sudden has become one of the front runners. As you know, he was sitting back around 5 or 6 or maybe
Made
4
no
or 5.
Sense.
And
Made
now
no
all
sense.
Of a sudden they're saying he's the best one after Caleb Williams. So I would like
Made
to
no
pat
sense.
Ourselves on the back for that one. But
I mean,
anyway.
I like to think that it was pretty obvious, Tick.
Me too.
The guy
I thought
was
so too.
Unbelievable.
I agree.
He was as, I mean, aside from Joe Burrow, he was like the fucking man. Like breaking almost every record and like rushing, passing, touchdowns. I mean, he was unbelievable this year. Unbelievable.
I agree. But anyway, we'll get to him and where we think he's going to go. Let's just start after the Bears. Let's just start with the number 2 pick, because we all know that Caleb Williams, 99.9% going to Chicago.
100%.
That would be
100%.
Yeah. 100%. So let's start at number 2 with the Commanders. Gentlemen, where do we think it's going to – probably a quarterback, but what do we think is going to happen there?
I mean, I think it's either going to be Jaden Daniels or Drake May. And I think that if they're smart, they'll go with Jaden Daniels. I think he's a much better all-around quarterback in terms of what he provides you with talent, in terms of his escapability, his ability to run. I think he's just overall a better prospect. But I would say it's either one of those two. Mikey, would you agree?
Yeah, I'm going to go Jaden Daniels at 2. And I say Jaden Daniels at 2 for a couple of reasons. Aside from the fact of what he did at LSU, we all know what he did at LSU. By the way, he was throwing to a receiver who's consensus top 5 probably player right now, certainly top 10 in his sleep, in Malik Nabers. And then Johnson across the field from him was another great receiver that's going to go probably in the first round. So 2 LSU receivers are probably going to go in the first round.
Johnson's
and
a big boy.
That's not to discredit Jaden Daniels at all. I remember watching Jaden Daniels at Arizona State before he came to LSU, and I really liked him then. I am a little concerned about Jaden Daniels holding up over time, but I think Washington goes that route because I think he's better than Drake May. I think that they are going to feel a little bit of pressure to put on themselves if they go with another North Carolina quarterback, as dumb as that sounds. Going to Drake May after you just had Sam Howell, I find that difficult to believe that they would do that again. Maybe they will, but I think no. And then maybe I think they look back at RG3 and remember what it was like having a very mobile quarterback that was able to create a lot of plays with his legs in addition to his arm, and the success that they had for a very brief window when RG3 was there. But I do see a similar athletically gifted quarterback with his legs and Jaden Daniels. Difference is, I think Jaden Daniels is a better passer of the football than Robert Griffin III, to be honest. And I'm not taking anything away from Griffin. I mean, they built a fucking statue for the guy at Baylor. I know how good he was. But Jaden Daniels, to me, is the correct pick there if I'm the Commanders. I really don't want to mess around with Drake May. I really don't.
Well, I would imagine that with the Patriots having the next pick, they will take probably the quarterback that the Commanders do not pick, but who knows? Let's see what you guys think. Will it be Drake May if the Commanders go with Jaden Daniels, or vice versa? Or do you think they might take a leap of faith on a guy like J.J. McCarthy? What do you think the Patriots are going to do?
I think they'll go with J.J. McCarthy. I just think that, you know, after talking to Mikey and I looking into it and just how much hype is around him, you know, he's not like, if you look at him talent wise, he's not the most capable of all the quarterback prospects that are out there. But man, it's hard to argue this guy's resume. He just wins, and he's been successful. And it's just like, after what he's done winning, you know, a national title this year, I feel like with the culture, you know, you look at the Patriots, right? They took another Michigan quarterback with Tom Brady. Didn't seem to be like the most gifted in terms of all the attributes he had. The guy just knew how to win. And I mean, look how that turned out for them. So I think it could go May, but I do think that McCarthy is a guy who's going to be on the up and coming. I think they go with McCarthy.
Mikey. Yeah, I don't think McCarthy is going to go that high. He certainly could, but I think there's a lot of smoke behind it. I think that the Patriots are either going to draft Drake May or they're going to trade this pick. I could see the Patriots trading this pick. I could see them trading the pick to Denver, or I could see them trading the pick to Minnesota. I could see potentially them trading the pick to Las Vegas. But I'll go with either Drake May or a trade is what I think is going to happen with the 3 pick.
What do you think they would be potentially looking to get if they made a trade to Denver? A quarterback? I mean, what do they want in return?
Well, they'd have to go down then to Denver's pick would be the 12 pick, and they could still nab a guy like Penix or Nix in that range. That's why I'm saying I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that's sure. The route that they go. So you're talking about potentially moving down to 12. Compensation-wise, is going to cost a first rounder next year, certainly, in addition. So whoever's going to do it's going to have to give up that first round. You're moving into the top five of the draft, you're giving up a first round pick next year. No matter where you're moving from, that's an automatic. It's going to happen. So Drake May or trading the pick for the Pats for me.
Interesting. All right, with the number 4 pick, the Cardinals, I personally think they need a new quarterback, but it seems like they'll most likely end up going with a wide receiver, probably pretty obvious, but what do you guys think?
I think that this could be – so this pick is very interesting because here's a GM in Ossenfort or whatever his name is. I think it's Ossenfort. This guy has made it abundantly clear that they are open for business to trade this pick. He's made it publicly known that they're.
Well, he says he's not going to do it till trade day or till the actual day.
Correct, because he's going
to. He wants to see who goes off the board.
But that's the correct way to play it, because teams behind will panic if things start going a certain way. If quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, quarterback hungry teams may get desperate. If the quarterback hungry team that values or covets J.J. McCarthy or Drake May sees that the first 3 picks were Caleb, Jaden Daniels and either or those quarterbacks, JJ or King's Drake, ransom. They're going to give it right. Exactly. Yeah. So I think, again, I'll give a split scenario. It's either going to be Marvin Harrison Jr. or it'll be a trade for Arizona. But I'm leaning more towards believing that they will bite the bullet and hold the pick and take a generational talent who I still believe is the best can't-miss prospect in this draft, which is Marvin Harrison Jr.
I agree, Mikey. I think that this kid is too good. Like, they would have to get something outrageously good to pass up on a talent like Marvin Harrison Jr., especially when they already have, you know, they have Kyler Murray coming back. He showed pretty well towards the end of the season, played pretty good coming off an injury. So they're committed to him, like Ticket said, and I don't think that they're going to get enough that it's worth it for them to pass up on the clear cut, to me, best wide receiver.
Right. And Joe said it, and Kyler Murray back. You know, you got Paris Johnson, your franchise tackle last year in the draft. Remember, they lost Rondell Moore and Hollywood Brown in free agency this year. They need a wide receiver desperately, and he's the number one with a bullet. I know people want to talk Malik Nabers. Malik Nabers is great. If Marvin Harrison Jr. wasn't in this draft, we said it a couple of weeks ago, if Nabers and Odunze didn't have to deal with Marvin Harrison, any three of these guys could be the number one receiver in the draft. But this guy is cut from a different cloth, in my opinion.
All right, there you go. Number five, the Chargers are picking Harbaugh. Gonna be the first time back with the draft for a long time. What will he do? Will he take Nabers, or will he trade the pick? What do you think?
Yeah, especially if Harrison goes at four, you know, you lost Keenan Allen to the Bears. You lost Mike Williams to the Jets. They need pass catchers there all of a sudden. And, you know, what you saw from the rookie from TCU, Quentin Johnson, you saw a guy who's very inconsistent with his hands. So it's not like he made a statement where it's like, okay, guys, don't worry, we'll be good. I'll be the clear-cut number one. I don't think he sent that message yet. So I think you're in a catbird seat to get a talent like Nabers. So, yeah, I'll say, now, listen, could be a Brock Bowers spot where he's overdrafted a little bit, perhaps. Now, there's a guy who's interesting. It's interesting with Bowers because I think he is a generational talent at tight end. But for whatever reason, he's kind of like taking a backseat to these three wideouts, which, okay, that's fine. So sleeper with Bowers, but I'll go with Nabers as the pick for the Chargers.
Joey D?
It depends. I think depending if there's a quarterback still available, like if Drake May goes early and McCarthy's still on the board, I actually think the Minnesota Vikings might trade up. We talked about this before with Mikey V. They're very high on J.J. McCarthy. If he is still available, say if May goes before McCarthy, I actually wouldn't be surprised if, you know, the Minnesota Vikings, after losing Kirk Cousins, needs a quarterback. They trade up to get McCarthy, and they trade the pick with, you know, with the Chargers. I could see that happen. But to Mikey's point, Nabers is, to me, the clear-cut second receiver off the board after Marvin Harrison Jr. So, you know, if that's the route they're going to take, if they're going to pick, to me, that seems like a no-brainer pick for them.
All right, number six, we got the New York Giants. Do they go with a wide receiver again? Do they go with the Odunze? Do they take another gamble with that? Didn't work out so well with was that guy a couple years ago? Was it Hilton? Was that who it was? Jaden?
No.
Who was that wide receiver they took a couple
of
years
took, ago? They took the receiver from Tennessee.
Hilton, right?
No,
it's not Hilton.
The receiver that they took that busted was the receiver from Florida that went to Kansas.
Hyatt.
Jalen Hyatt is the Tennessee receiver. But I'm talking
I knew it was
about,
a hotel.
But Jalen Hyatt really isn't like, I don't think his story's been written yet. And I don't think that he's necessarily a bad player. The player that they took that was the bust was the receiver from Florida that went to Kansas City, Kadarius Toney. That was a bust pick.
But you know what? That was a decent bust because that guy was a classic Billy Beane. He was a five-tool player. He had a lot of moves to him. He was a gadget guy. He looked great. I don't blame them for taking him. Right. He just the mentals. He just had nothing's working upstairs, man.
It's crazy. So, I mean, listen, Giants could go in a number of directions here. Yes, but they need a playmaker so badly that it almost has to be Odunze, but it's going to be tough for them. Joe Alt, the tackle from Notre Dame, is still going to be on the board. Bowers could still be on the board, but chalk, I think Odunze probably is the pick. Now you're talking about three wide receivers going, back to back to back there. Which certainly is a nightmare scenario for my Bears sitting at 9, because I really would have liked to got him. But Odunze at 6, if he's there, probably is the play for the Giants.
I think you mentioned the pick, Mikey, that I think they'll take. I think they're going to take the offensive tackle, Joe Alt. They definitely need to beef up on their line, man. They got to give some protection to whoever's going to be in the quarterback there. And I think that this is the spot for them to do it. The problem with the Giants is they have holes everywhere.
Yeah. So the thing is, are they going to draft Joe Alt that high with that kind of value when they have Andrew Thomas there, who's a really good left tackle? The issue was right tackle Evan Neal from Alabama. That was the issue for them. So it's like, you're going to draft Joe Alt and then tell him what? He's going to play right tackle when Andrew Thomas is a proven left tackle in the league. So that's why I lean more towards Odunze. But I mean, certainly you couldn't go wrong with either of those guys. But that's why I kind of lean towards Odunze a little bit more in that situation.
I mean, I get it that you would want one of those guys. They're probably all three of them are going to be all, they're just going to be great, great players. And I know that the Bears would love that, but your wide receiver core is not that bad.
No,
you guys need
it,
like a tackle. You guys need an offensive line. Like, I feel like almost being at 9 and missing out on those guys is almost a blessing in some kind of way, because you're probably going to go with an offensive lineman. I would hope. I would think.
I mean,
because that's what you really need.
It's not the
Moore
talk,
and
but
Keenan Allen is a 1-2. That's a real solid punch. Say, as long as Keenan Allen can stay healthy, that's a big caveat. But if he stays healthy, that's one of the best 1-2 punches, Mikey, in the league in terms of wide
receivers. True, and they complement each other well too. It's, you got one massive go up and get it guy, and you've got a lightning fast guy on the other side. But wait, the talk in Chicago is not with the number 9 pick to take an offensive line.
Yeah. It's not.
You're just going to let this quarterback get killed the same way Fields did? I get it. He held onto the ball too long.
They made a couple moves in free agency to address the interior a little bit. The tackles really weren't a problem. I mean, Braxton Jones is fine at left. This right tackle that they drafted last year from Tennessee he was excellent as a rookie. Oh my God, man, my memory is just dog shit. Darnell Wright, the rookie from Tennessee that they took at 10 last year or 11 last year. He was outstanding for a rookie. So I was going to wait till we get to the 9 pick, but the talk, yeah, it really has not focused around offensive line. I've heard a lot of names, the same 3 names keep coming up over and over and over again. And when we get to 9, I'll get to it. But yeah, okay. I have not heard a lot about offensive line. I have not.
Wow. All right. Well, in the meantime, we're on 7, which is the Tennessee Titans pick. Gentlemen, what do you think they're going to do there?
That's Joe Alt. If he's there, it's Joe Alt for the Titans at 7 for me.
Yeah, I mean, they need help on the line big time too. So a lot of these picks is all dependent on what's going to happen.
That's correct.
You know what I mean? I do agree that
but you know what they need.
I just said I thought that the Giants would go with a lineman, because I think they definitely need help with the line. To Mikey's point, I think if Joe Alt's available, I do think that Tennessee will scoop him up.
Okay. Number 8, Atlanta Falcons. Where are they heading?
You know, they could use –
edge, Laiatu Latu?
Yeah, from UCLA.
That's who I had – pegged down on my roster.
Yeah, that's probably a good call. That's probably a good call for them. Or, you know, they might go, you know, Cooper DeJean, the corner from Iowa. They could go.
Who's the other edge guy? Isn't there Dallas Turner? Isn't he a big guy?
From Alabama, and Jared Verse from Florida State, and Chop Robinson from Penn State. Those are probably the 4 biggest ones out there. They could go offensive line as well. They could go, you know, Fuaga, the tackle from Oregon State. They could go the tackle from Penn State. But I think at the end of the day that I think Joe's prediction, not a bad one, but I'll say they go Jared Verse from Florida State. I'll say they go Verse instead of Latu from Florida State.
Okay.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights.
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And then here we are, right back to the Bears. All roads lead back. Yeah. The ninth pick. Who are those three names?
If they keep the pick, it's going to be because Roma Dunze is there still, which obviously in our mocks, he's not. But if he's not there, if Joe Alt is there, they'll pick Joe Alt. I don't see a scenario where Joe Alt will be there. I think Joe Alt will be off the board. I think there's a better shot of a Dunze being there, even though
for the Bears.
I just think a Dunze, he's got a better shot of being there than Alt. I think if a Dunze's there, he's going to be the pick. If he's not there, I could see them going Brock Bowers. I could see them going.
Really?
Jared. Yeah.
A great tight end already.
Yeah, but Shane Waldron, the new coordinator from Seattle, loves to run double, triple tight end formation. Brock Bowers is not a typical tight end. Like he's like a Dalton Kincaid type that Buffalo just got. Like only better. He is a generational talent at tight end.
I'll tell you what, man. You give the Bears DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Cole Kmet, and Brock Bowers.
Yeah, that's a really and you got Tickets Boy back there.
Yeah, Swift. Yeah,
and you got Swift. I mean, that's a fun,
it's a dangerous team.
That's a fun
with Caleb
ride
at the helm. Yeah, that's fun.
Oh, that's a fun young offensive team, man. In terms of weapons,
and that's dangerous. And then the real defensive name that's been emerging for them is Byron Murphy II. From Texas, defensive tackle, plays three tech, which is like a staple big time anchor position in Eberflus's defense. So listen, I wouldn't be upset with any of those guys. I'll say this. It's going to be really hard for them to fuck up the nine pick, because if they take any of the guys I just mentioned, I'd be happy. If they trade back, that probably means that they're going to get decent compensation. I don't want to see them move back too far, because I think they're in a rare position where they have such high draft equity for as good as the roster is right now that I don't want to see them, you know, go all the way back down. But if they want to drop a couple spots back, fine. But since I already took a Dunze off the board, I'm going to just say that they pick, Byron Murphy II from Texas.
Wow.
Only because Dunze was already off the board, but I would prefer Brock Bowers. That would be the pick I would want. But I'm just going to go off of what I've been hearing, that Byron Murphy II maybe is the pick that'll be made.
Mikey, I heard something the other day, and I know that you saw it because I think that you posted on your Instagram too. Do you think that there's a world where they try to
trade up
to get Marvin Harrison Jr. and Caleb Williams together?
There's a world, but the world only exists if Marvin Harrison Jr. goes past the four pick. I don't think they're going to be able to do what it would require them doing to get up to four. I think if he falls to the Chargers at five, now I don't know why the Chargers would ever trade the pick. I think Marvin Harrison would be a home run for them. But is there a world where it could happen? Yeah. I mean, crazier things have happened on draft night, but I mean, they've only got four picks in this draft. So they'd have to trade nine and then have to trade a first next year.
Next year. Yeah.
I just don't know if Poles is going to do that. I just don't know. He doesn't strike me as the type to give up draft equity.
Would you be thrilled if they tried to do that?
All he's done is get draft equity. I mean, if they draft Caleb Williams and Marvin Harrison Jr., I'd be over the moon. But you know, I know what you guys are saying about the receiving core. Here's the thing: Keenan Allen goes down, that receiving core is right back to square one. DJ Moore, yes, but he's going to just get bracketed, double covered, and they got nobody behind him. Really, they really don't. So it's not like they picked up like one of these other guys in free agency or something. I really would have liked to see them pick up a Tyler Boyd, like somebody like that, but they didn't. And you know,
they got Keenan Allen. That was their pick. That was what they did.
No, I know that, but I still think that they needed I still think they need a little help there. But I mean, it doesn't have to be a big name, just an established NFL vet. But they're in a good spot.
Would you be happier if you still had Darnell Mooney as your third guy?
No, because they would have to pay him. And I mean, I don't know.
They gave him a shot, man. They gave him multiple opportunities.
Yeah, you'll see what happens in Atlanta. Maybe he's going to blow up with Cousins throwing him the ball. Maybe. I don't know.
No way.
I wouldn't question it. Cousins is a talented passer, man. He's
one of the best. One of the best in
the business. He doesn't get the accolades he deserves, and he's not the flashiest guy, but he can make the passes.
Oh, he's been pretty flashy recently. Have you seen those pictures of him going around?
Yeah, he's
been pretty flashy recently.
He's been living with the this is horrible for me tonight. He's been living with it's not a curse, it's like a stigmata. He's been living with the stigmata of he can't win big games, primetime games, you know, primetime Kirk. That was all you heard about Kirk Cousins. Couldn't win in primetime, couldn't. And for a while that was very true. And then the last couple of years, I really do think he's done an incredible job of just putting all that nonsense pretty much to bed. Yes, they lost a home playoff game to the Giants, but that team, Minnesota, really wasn't even that good of a team. But he's been spectacular. So if he can't make Darnell Mooney look a little bit better, then nobody can. So we'll see.
It was an earned stigmata for a long time. It was earned.
It was. I mean, you looked at the record.
It was earned.
Stigmata.
It's a stigma.
That was his stigma.
Stigmata.
Did I say stigmata?
Sure did. Yeah, you sure did.
Isn't that like you get the...
Yeah, that's from church. Yeah, that's horrible. Yeah, He's a holy guy, too. Yeah.
You get the actual the wounds of Christ.
Oh, that's horrible.
That's what stigmata is like.
Stigma.
How about Joey D correcting your phrase there? That's a one in a million.
It's been a very, very, very tough night for me, obviously.
Sure. But you're doing great until that whole stigmata thing.
Yeah.
You really were. And then we'll round it out with 10, and then maybe we'll jump around. We don't need to do the whole first round here, but 10, the Jets have the next pick. I kind of thought they were going to go with Bowers. I thought they were going to go with the tight end there. But if he's off the board.
No, I'm going Bowers.
You're going Bowers
I think they're going to go for him. He's light years ahead of any other tight end in the draft. He's awesome. Like Mikey said, he's going to translate to a generational talent in the NFL. I think he's going to be awesome. Now you give Aaron Rodgers, a guy like that, with Garrett Wilson and with pass catching back like Breece Hall and some of the other weapons they have, could be a fun team to watch, man. Could be a real fun little team to watch.
Who's that?
Do you disagree?
No, yeah. I agree. It was just the way you were just like, it's going to be a real, real fun team to watch. I think a Clint Eastwood thing almost. It was great.
I think Aaron's going to have a big year this year.
Yeah, he might. Mikey,
either
going to
be a huge year or a dump year.
You might get.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if Bowers is still there, I think the Jets would be silly not to take him. I think they'd be silly not to take him if he's still there. Again, they need weapons. They need weapons as well. You know, Mike Williams, Garrett Wilson, they could use him for sure. Breece Hall in the backfield. They have a good tight end as well. But, I mean, Bowers is a different animal at tight end. So, you know, you got to give this guy the arsenal. And if Bowers is there, quite frankly, it's probably a steal for them if he's there.
100%.
You think Aaron Rodgers is going to double down with the flag again, or you think that was just for 9/11?
Oh, for running out with the flag?
Running out on week one? I think he's got to double down and just run that flag out there again.
Yeah, I don't know. It depends, I guess, if the schedule drops. I don't know. Like, maybe, I guess you're saying no matter what, the first home game, he's got
to
do that?
I think he's got to after what happened last year. I think he's got to redo it. He has to. He owes it to himself.
Okay.
Personally, that's what I believe. All right, that's the top 10 we did there. Gentlemen, do you want to skip around a little bit? Is there any other teams that you're specifically interested in jumping to? We could be here all night. This would be a three-hour-long episode if we did every pick of the first round.
I think we did the top 10. Yeah. Which is fine.
Is there anyone else there you're interested in?
No, you know, I mean, I think it's interesting. J.J. McCarthy, obviously. You know, I think some team is going to make a move for J.J. McCarthy, and he's going to be in the top 15 or 10. I do. I think he'll get drafted in the top 15 or the top 10 somehow. It's just too difficult to predict that in a mock. But I do think somebody's going to move up for him. And then I think Michael Penix is going to go higher than people think. I think people are talking about him, you know, lasting late into the first round. I don't think that's going to happen. I think him and Bo Nix will both go in the first round. And all those big time quarterbacks will be gone in the first round. I don't see a world where Nix and Penix both survive to the second. I think the last of that group is Bo Nix that gets drafted, but I think they both still go in the first round. So it'll be interesting to see the Vikings, you know, the Patriots, do they stay there? The Cardinals, do they stay where they're at? The Bears, do they stay at 9 or do they move back? It's going to be, I'm telling you, this draft is going to be like one where it's not like a lot of drafts are first round. You just want to watch to see what your team does. It's going to be very interesting to watch how the whole first round plays out. It's going to be pretty fascinating, especially the top 10, 15 picks.
Did Caleb drop that whole, you know, a few months ago, he said that whatever team he got drafted to, he wanted equity in the team.
Yeah.
Did he get rid of all that?
I don't think he ever said that. I think it was like put out there by a third party who said that his father said that. Mm. So yeah, I've heard nothing else about that at all.
He's done great recently. Ever since he was getting a bad rap, he's really shut his mouth. He shut his dad's mouth and his interviews are doing great. Yeah, they are.
Yeah, I mean, I saw the interview he did with Ryan Clark. It was really good. You know, he's the type of guy I think that, you know, you could rally behind a little bit. I think he's got that, like, intensity. I think he's got that win-at-all-cost mentality. I think he wants to be great. I really do. He keeps, you know, saying that he, you know, he's saying all the right things. We'll leave it at that. But it's got to translate on the field, and you never know what could happen in the NFL. It's a totally different animal. He could come in and it just doesn't work. I mean, we've seen it a million times with guys that get drafted really high. So it's just going to depend on if the situation's right, the timing's right. And hopefully it is. Hopefully it is.
Do you feel good about him, Mikey?
Yeah, I do. I do. I feel good about the direction the franchise is heading in for the first time in a while. So we'll see. We'll see. I don't know. I really don't know. So the NFL is just, it's just so weird, man. It's just so weird. It's tough to see anything.
You look at these highly touted quarterback draft picks and you're like, oh, they turned out to be everything that you thought that they would be and more. And then there's some years you're like, oh my God.
Yeah. I mean, listen, 2020,
look at the year of Baker Mayfield and all those busts, man.
The 2021 draft. I mean, that draft alone, you look at those guys, they're nowhere to be found now. Like Trey Lance is, you know, he's sitting back up in Dallas. Justin Fields just got traded. Zach Wilson just got traded. Mac Jones, where's Mac Jones? Did he get traded? He got traded too.
He got traded somewhere.
I mean, like, and Trevor Lawrence has been good. He's been good. He's had his struggles. He's had some struggles a little bit, but he's been good. But as a whole, I mean, that quarterback draft class shit the bed incredibly.
Justin Fields still has a lot to prove, and he will prove it. So
that's just wild.
That's one.
Tick has always loved.
Man. Nobody loved him more. Tick. Nobody loved him more than me, dude. Nobody.
No, right here. I did apparently. I'm not with him.
I came to a conclusion at
you're
a point
with him,
last season.
You're against him.
All right. Then I guess fuck him. No. I'll always have incredible love for Justin.
There are moments last year where he looked awesome. Like he legitimately looked like he was finding his own. The Bears fans were chanting his name. It looked nice.
Joe, I got news for you though. If you're a Chicago Bears quarterback, It don't take much for you to do to have Bears fans chanting your name, because the standard, the bar has been set so incredibly low that it really doesn't take much. But listen, one of the most athletically gifted quarterbacks I've ever seen in my life, probably up there. The only guy I could say besides is Michael Vick. I mean, really, the only guy I really could look at and say is Michael Vick.
Leap. That's a crazy leap. That's great.
I'm talking about athleticism.
Correct. No, I understand. Yeah. Okay. Well,
as a passer, his throwing motion, his ability to read and operate a pocket. I mean, these were the things that led inevitably to the trade, unfortunately. But I do hope he does well in Pitt. I don't know how that's going to work in Pitt with him and Russell. I don't know how long it's going to take for Russell to get run out of the number one spot. Maybe Russell shines in Pittsburgh. Who knows? You talk about two quarterbacks who came from two completely different paths. One, a highly touted trade up to go get athletic phenom superstar. One, a despondent Super Bowl winning quarterback who has had the roughest go of it for the last couple of years. Now they're in the same quarterback room in a team that is a blue chip franchise in the NFL, a flagship franchise in the NFL. And who's going to, you know, how's it going to go for both of them? It's another fascinating storyline for this year. Even if you're not a Steelers fan, it's something that you're going to keep an eye on just to see how it goes.
I would like to think he's in a much better position to now succeed. He still Justin? Might not. Correct. With Mike Tomlin, I think a guy like that is going to be.
I mean,
be
Tomlin's
able...
a great coach.
He's yeah, great coach. I think that. And then also just learning behind Russell, even if he don't still got it, there's a lot that he could teach him. I think if he doesn't get better after this, I'll be willing to say sayonara to him.
Right, but right.
I think this is a much better spot than it was last year. No offense to your team, but.
No, I get it.
Just for growing. They just had little patience for him. Anyway, let's move on to the NBA playoffs. It's in full swing. We didn't talk about the NBA a single time during the regular season, but we will talk the playoffs. We will get into that.
Your Sixers, man. A
couple of devastating fucking games last night. The Lakers lost to Harper. What were they up? 30 points? They were up
20.
30.
They're was up 20? 20.
Jesus, Joe. We're up 25. I think they were up more than 20, but let's say 20. They're up 20 points and absolutely fell apart against the Denver Nuggets. The Denver Nuggets can always do that to you as long as they got Jokic. And then on the other side of that coin were the Sixers, to me, a much more devastating loss beyond just being a fan. It was just heartbreaking to watch. The Knicks stole one from Philadelphia.
What were they doing on that inbound pass, Dick? What the fuck was Kyle Lowry doing?
He got his pocket picked. There was a couple fouls. I mean, he got roughed up there, my man. But you're right.
It looked like Nurse was trying to call timeout, too, which I somehow...
It looked like he was trying to do that. A lot of things didn't go our way there. In about 30 seconds, they scored 5 points on us, and it was the turning point in the game. And
they scored six. They scored back-to-back threes. Brunson scored a three that rattled in, which was a fluke.
Was that a three?
Yeah. It was a three.
Yeah, it was a three. Yeah,
and then on top of that,
they
stole the inbound from Maxey.
Yeah.
DiVincenzo went for three. It missed.
Yeah.
They got the rebound. Then they kicked it out, and then he's hit a three again. They scored 8 points in like 15 seconds or something like ridiculous like that. Like insane, man.
When people get all up in my shit all the time about how I'm a cynical and very pessimistic Philadelphia fan. But this is a great example of what happens to teams in Philadelphia all the goddamn time. Just losing in spectacular fashion. And I've seen enough of it that it's made me very cynical about this city. And I don't expect to win ever. And when we win, it's quite a pleasure. But I never expect it, even with good teams, because this bullshit happens all the time. We're trying to call a timeout. This guy's getting his pocket picked. Embiid's playing at 50%. This happens every year to all
Embiid
of the four
played
major
amazing,
teams. All the time.
Embiid played
as well
amazing
as he could possibly play for
on
how
one
injured
leg
he was.
Essentially. You know, on one leg, essentially. What I don't understand is when they inbounded the ball to Maxey, you had a timeout. Why didn't he just hold the ball and call timeout?
I agree with that, too. But I agree. Why didn't he just hold
the
ball?
Why was he trying to get rid of the ball? Like, he had the ball in his hands. He tried to pass the ball out. All you had to do is look at the ref and call timeout, and they would have been able to. Oh my God, I couldn't believe it.
And Tyrese Maxey had a great game. He's been spectacular. I think he's averaging something like 34 points a game for us right now. So I can't put much blame on him too, but that was a boneheaded decision that cost us the game.
That being said,
he was trying to call a timeout. I don't understand why there wasn't a timeout call.
Do you think there's any chance now for the Sixers after that loss? Like how bad that is? I mean, to me, it looks like Embiid was hobbled. Like he could barely run up and down the court.
Yeah.
Like I don't know how he's going to be.
I think
okay
he just had his best game. Did you hear this series?
Did you hear the Philadelphia broadcast?
No.
The Philadelphia broadcaster doing TV, I guess, whatever, local Philadelphia broadcast. When you were at the line with like 47 seconds left or whatever, you were up four, guy hit one free throw, missed the second one. Philadelphia broadcaster goes, yeah, well, you know, home court advantage. All, you know, people want to, you know, win both games, but really all you got to do is what the Sixers did and take one.
Now we head back. Job's done.
We got to head back down the turnpike. Up 5 points with 47 seconds left. That's featured in Cuzzy's Cool
tomorrow. Don't ever bet with that guy. Yeah.
Now, I got to tell you, when I heard that, I was like, I could understand if there was like 5 seconds left. I could understand that. But 48 seconds in basketball, that's a fucking eternity in basketball.
Now, that being said,
the sequence of events that followed were, yeah. I mean, that was out of, you know, Lemony Snicket's series of unfortunate events.
Sure.
But to make that call as a professional broadcaster is wild.
Were you watching the game?
Yeah, I watched the whole goddamn game. I was just sitting here like a crazy guy, just screaming at my TV all alone.
No, it's not crazy.
Oh, that was
just screaming.
Tough.
And it was
how about
just
the on the other side? How about that Lakers game? That was crazy.
But at least they knew.
The one where LeBron cried in the press conference and stormed off.
Yeah.
I'll tell you who's my problem this week. I'll get to that after. But no, the Lakers game was nuts. It was back and forth. And then the fucking, you know, like tickets in, they're up 20 points.
Yeah,
and then
there was a buzzer beater
by Jamal Murray. It was insane.
Well, that's why when LeBron, it's such a bad look. Like you go to that press conference and you're going to complain about a call in the third quarter, but you blew a 20-point lead, dog. Like that call did not change the game. Like it didn't change the outcome. Not when you're up 20. Like if you were up four and that call, fine. But not when you're up
playoffs. Playoffs are crazy, man. Look at the New York Islanders last night. We're up 3-0.
I know they lost 5-3. I know.
They pulled the goalie with 2.5 minutes left. They let a goal in, and 9 seconds later, they scored again. So they went from being up with 2.5 minutes left to being down within 9 seconds.
Yeah.
I mean, playoffs are just crazy. You never know. Like no lead is safe. Like you can never take your foot off the gas, man. It's just the way it is.
Well, moving on to hockey, do you feel like the Canucks can take their foot off the gas a little bit against the Predators?
We're fucked.
You're fucked. You're up 1-0.
Did you hear what happened?
What happened?
Our all-star goalie, Thatcher Demko is now hurt.
Yeah,
and potentially out. Potentially, well, out of nowhere. He didn't even get claimed hurt after the game. Played unbelievable. He's an all-star goalie, one of the best in the league.
Yeah, he's great.
Never, there was no injury listed, nothing. And now all of a sudden today, Elliot Friedman tweeted that he's hurt and potentially gone for the entire series. So we're marching out Casey DeSmith for the rest of the series probably
against this team.
He's not a number one. He's not a top tier goalie in the league. Right. Demko is a top five goalie in the league.
But you're saying you survived this series, he could come back for round two? Is that what they're saying? He'd come back for the next round?
Yeah.
Okay. You're already up one, my man. I mean,
you got a great team.
We gotta win tonight.
We have got to win tonight or we're fucked.
Yeah, if you don't win tonight, it will get dicey. I'm not gonna lie to you.
If we win tonight, we will go on two games up to nothing, to the point where like it might prolong the series long enough that he might even come back. But this guy is our life force. Like he is so important to this team. Yeah. We need him so badly. And this franchise is so cursed, man, that like even the other day they had a great come from behind win. They scored 2 goals in 12 seconds to win. It was unbelievable. But I'm so pessimistic with this team. I feel like we're just never going to win, man. We're just never going to win.
Joe, you're in a decent spot.
Yeah, you're up.
I do agree, though. You don't want to go back to Nashville 1-1.
Oh,
that's a bad spot to be in.
Nashville's not a bad team, too, by the way, dude. They have one of the best goalies in the league. They can score. They have a Roman Josi, and they have, like, some great players on defense. I don't know. We have to win tonight. It's
Forsberg, too, who's a great player.
Oh, he's a really good player.
Yeah.
Ryan O'Reilly. They have some really good talent, man. They really do.
How about the Stoner scoring?
That's where I was heading next.
That was awesome. I messaged him today, and I was like, pretty special stuff, man. First game back, scored a goal. Apparently, from what he's telling me, a lot of people aren't happy with him because he was hurt. I think people thought he was fabricating it. Now he's back. Listen, bottom line, the guy's out there playing, and he's scoring goals and contributing to the team, and he is a force. And this Knights team, man, they are fucking feisty. The Dallas Stars is the number one team in the West, and they are already in trouble to the point where if the Knights win game two, they already have Dallas on the ropes. It's crazy how good this Knights team is.
You know why that's so frustrating, though? Is because with Kucherov, the Tampa Bay Lightning were doing that for years and years and years. And I'm not saying that the Vegas Knights have done that with Stone, because Stone is full of integrity and he would never do that. He was honestly hurt, and now he's back. But Kucherov would miss entire regular seasons and then all of a sudden show up, and it's a loophole with the NHL to get past the salary cap, and you almost get like an extra player for the playoffs. And that's why the Tampa Bay Lightning were so fucking good.
And I think that's why people are hating on it, because I know a couple of my buddies who are very, very heavy into hockey, and they're like, this rule is just the most insane rule, and everyone knows it, and every year teams do it, and it's just – I think it's the, you know, it's the rule more so than being mad with the player. Can't get mad at the player. Like the old saying, don't hate the player, hate the game, dog. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
In this case, that's exactly what it is.
Kudos to Mark Stone, still doing it, man. This guy's a beauty.
The Stoner.
One of the best guys you'll ever meet.
He's got that White House napkin in his back pocket for his games. What it is.
I want him to score a goal and then just go to center ice and just
wave the napkin out. I'd be hyped. That'd be great.
No one else would know what the fuck was going on, but the 400 faithful of the sportsmen, they sure would.
Yep.
All right, let's move on to one more thing before we get to who's a problem. Did you guys watch Ryan Garcia the other night? Did you watch him toy with this guy?
Holy shit, that was crazy, man.
Unbelievable.
This guy's 31-0.
Yeah. He's one of the only guys keeping boxing alive, to be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, he looked like he was just out there fucking sparring for fun. It was crazy.
Didn't they had like crazy side wagers on all that, right? Didn't the guy have like, he had like all these side wagers with the guy for every pound that he came in overweight? Mm-hmm. He was going to like, what was it? He was going to pay him $500,000 for just crazy.
Well, no, apparently Garcia bet on himself.
He won
$2 million or some shit like that on himself.
Which is a great part of that sport, that you're allowed to do that.
You can bet on yourself to win.
Of course, you should be.
Yeah.
It should be illegal to bet against yourself because you could take a dive.
No, he won more than two. He bet $2 million and won, I think it was like $10 million. He was plus 500, plus 550. I think he won like $10 million.
Which is absurd with his record and how great he's been for such a long time, but... Should have been a little closer.
Well, now they're saying that he's gonna do a rematch against Gervonta Davis, and that apparently the weigh-in where they have the you can't regain weight after the weigh-ins. Did you hear about that?
No.
Yeah, there it is. Ryan Garcia bet he earned he bet $2 million to win $12 million. On himself.
Pretty nice. So he bet $2 million. Okay.
Meanwhile, Calvin Ridley was betting on games and got booted for a year. Yeah. What the fuck?
Bill, I tell you, these leagues are gonna have to figure it out, man. Because you know, when you're employing someone, because that's what these leagues do. These players are all employees of the league, of the Shield, whatever Shield the league represents. When you're employing people and you're surrounding them in a company that is in bed with all of these major sports books now, DraftKings and FanDuel. And you, it's just, what do you expect is going to happen when the game is now solely revolving around, to a major degree, gambling? I mean, when they preview games, they're showing the spreads, the over-unders, the props, the player
props. Everywhere.
I mean, it's become, you know, interwoven into the fabric of the very sport that they're playing. I don't understand how you're going to, you know, you can't give a death penalty sentence to a guy who, you know, wagered on, you know, a parlay when it's something for his team, pros. It's just, it's going to become more and more complicated. Like, I, you know how many of these players must be doing this and not getting caught because they're doing it through a friend of a friend of a friend, and it's just someone like that.
Or translator.
Yeah, translator.
Oh, the guy in the NBA who's banned for life now.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's just insane. And then you got the guy the other night who fucking missed the free throw on purpose so people would get free chicken.
Oh, Boban. That was Boban. Yeah, right. Boban. Now, it's a classy
now
move.
Now, that's a classy story. It's a classic. Yeah. Everyone's laughing. Everyone's having a good time. I tell you what, I don't know what his point prop was that night, but if I had the over and he lost it by a point, I would fucking go bullet. That bet should get fucking voided. That's what I'm saying.
By the way, his point prop probably isn't very high for Boban. Yeah,
right, so there you go. Like, it's just like, it's a very, very, very fine line that they're dancing now with these guys. It's just a very fine line that it's a tiptoe, you know, it's a tiptoe kind of situation, walking, you know, walking on broken glass, kind of just tiptoeing around it, because everything they do now, it impacts every one of these prop bets, every one of these side bets, everything. So it's only going to get worse. It's only going to get worse as these leagues grow in popularity and the sports books grow in popularity. It's only going to get crazier.
Yeah, and going back to boxing, that's a completely different sport where gambling has always been intertwined with that sport.
Oh, yes.
So guys like Ryan Garcia can go and fucking bet on themselves and make $12.5 million. Good for him. Sounds like a nice night.
10 million, but
still. Yeah, not to it's mention
probably a great night.
Not to mention whatever the purse was just for winning the fight. That must have been a nice payday itself.
Yep.
Really nice.
But real nice piece.
Super nice piece.
Super nice piece, bro.
Let's move on here to who's a problem. Joey D, I'm going to start with you this week. Who is a problem? You kind of already told us.
LeBron James, my problem of the week. Listen, the guy's unbelievable for what he's doing at 39 years old. There's no question about it.
He's not 40 yet?
No, he's a year older than us, Michael. What he's doing, he had a block early on last night that was unbelievable. He had a couple plays that were just incredible. But here's the bottom line. He had a shot to basically end the game, basically wide open, uncontested, no one near him. He missed a shot. Jamal Murray comes down, hits a buzzer beater. Now, I understand they're really upset about that fucking foul against, D'Angelo Russell, where he got poked in the face or hit in the head or whatever. They went back, they looked at it on the video replay, they called it not a foul, it was clearly a foul. Here's the thing, man. The game came down to the wire. You guys blew a 20-point lead, and you missed an open shot that essentially would have closed the game out. For you to then go in the press conference and just focus on the refs and the officiating of the game, saying that that was the major reason why you guys did not win, is so fucking ridiculous. And it's become something so frequently accustomed that we're used to seeing LeBron James do. And it's just so deflective. Like, instead of just being like, hey, I had a chance to win us the game, I missed, we lost the game, we're coming back next game and we're going to take care of business. Like, just don't be a bitch. And I feel like more often than not now, and I'm not taking away from how good he is. Is he one of the best of all time? Sure, he is, 100%. Is he super talented? Yeah, he is. But like, it's just this, like, this just pity culture that the NBA has become now synonymous with. And like this new generation, just take ownership. The one thing I loved about Jordan is if he, you know, if he made a mistake or he didn't do something, he'd put his fucking hand up and he'd be like, you know, that's on me. I should have made the fucking shot. I didn't make a shot. We lost the game. And LeBron just doesn't seem to know how to do that, man. And it's fucking infuriating to me. And it's just like, I'm just over it. It's just the same song and dance. You're blaming the refs when you blew a 20-point lead in the playoffs and you missed a fucking open shot to basically clinch the game. You got to have – listen, I'm not – am I always the guy who puts my hand up in life and takes accountability? Maybe not. But I can at least admit that LeBron James certainly is probably just as bad, if not worse than me.
All right, fair enough. I'll go next, and we can close with Mikey. My problem is the refs, Joe. I'm going to go the other side. I am going to blame the refs. It's going to be – my problem is the NBA, and it's the refs of last night's Sixers game, because this guy got fouled twice. This guy got his pocket picked by this – by who was it? Josh Hart was the second one, and the first one was by Jalen Brunson. Yeah. And not to mention recalling a timeout at the same time. For the refs to miss three things in that sequence, before the ball is inbounded, foul, after it's a foul, and also before it's inbounded, a fucking timeout, man. They missed all three within those 10 seconds, 7 seconds. That's not right, man. These guys battled the entire fucking game just for it to be ripped out for no goddamn reason. And on the other side, against your LeBron James take, Tyrese Maxey did come out, and he could have bashed the refs. Joel Embiid did a little bit, certainly. But he put his hand up. He said, hey, man, listen, that was the game. I got to be better. I should have gotten the ball when I was on the ground. I should have called a timeout. He knows it. He should have done that. That doesn't excuse that he didn't do that. But these fucking refs robbed us last night. They absolutely – I'm not going to say that we wouldn't have won that game. We would have won that game. But it should have been different. It shouldn't have been like that. It was fucking not right. And the NBA is a fucking problem. And those refs should be fired. Should get stolen.
Okay, I'm not. My point ticket is I don't necessarily disagree with you. I saw Nick Nurse calling the timeout. By the way, Nick Nurse, I thought, was extremely professional in the post game. I don't think he was. Necessarily, like I thought he would, you know, he could have gone off the rails, but like watching the Lakers game, on my take, do you agree with LeBron?
No,
making
I don't.
That claim, or do you think that what's a problem is merited?
I think those are two different things, different games. Yeah, completely. I do agree. But also part of that is because LeBron's been doing this since he was born, dude. He's a born complainer. That's all he does. He was born with all the talent in the world, and yet he can't stop complaining.
The Lakers get more free throws. If you look at the statistics, the Lakers have more free throws attempted than I think any other team in the league. Like, they get more calls for them because of LeBron than most other teams, which is, you know, I get it. But for him to then go back and bash the refs in that scenario, I thought was outrageous. But I do agree on that play ticket. You guys got banged.
I mean, I don't agree normally, typically with the more, no, I agree with you, Joe. I'm saying I typically don't agree with the Monday morning quarterbacking or blaming a penalty at the end of the game or a non-penalty, especially in football. But when you miss three things in that course, two fouls and a timeout that was supposed to be called, that's just not doing your job. That's a massive oversight. That's all that was to me. So, and it's the Sixers and I love them. So I'm going to fight for them. Mikey, who's a problem?
I'm going to say, switch it up this week pretty big. You know, everyone wants to talk about Scottie Scheffler, rightfully so. I'm going to switch and I'm going to go to the female side of the world, Nelly Korda. Wow. Nelly Korda on the LPGA Tour, man.
Five
starts, five wins in a row. 68.6 scoring average, which is, I mean, that's just preposterous. And scored a par minus 61. Listen, her dominance in this sport. Now, I don't know how long she's been around. I don't know what kind of, you know, what she's done consistently year over year basis, but certainly the run she's on now is just something that I don't think should be overlooked or, you know, discarded or, you know, underappreciated or underplayed. It's kind of cool, I think, that you have two players that are kind of dominating at the same time in their respective genders and their respective sports. And you know, I thought a couple of the interviews they did with Scotty, where he was talking about her specifically, was kind of funny, was kind of cool. But yeah, I mean, she's obviously a problem. I mean, she win five. I don't know how it's even possible to win five events in a row, considering how mind-bogglingly, frustratingly inconsistent golf is when you play. So to me, it's unfathomable what she and Scotty are doing, but certainly five in a row, I would just think like eventually, I would have thought in a stretch like that, you would just have a day where you're just not, you know, you just have an off day, but these fucking people are like robots. It's absolutely incredible.
Well, Scotty did have a day, the first day of the tournament, he played average.
Yeah.
And then he went on fucking Saturday and shot 8 under.
It's silly what's going on with him right now. Very, very silly.
Golf's a big game of streaks, though, too. I mean, Nelly Korda for a long time was one of those players that was supposed to be, you know, the next coming or very, very good, and she wasn't doing it for such a long time. And now she's sort of living up to the hype. And that was a major, too. I think that was her second major. Her first one came in like 2021. That was her second one. She seems to, be hitting her stride. Also, the daughter of a famous Swedish tennis player. So, had a lot
love a good Swede.
Yeah, you're fond of them?
Yeah, sure. Great fish out there.
I believe the fish is what, herring?
I was just talking about Swedish fish.
Isn't it? Geez.
Herring is
the candy.
Way over our head.
Yeah, Joe's like, oh, isn't the herring the national fish of Sweden?
Also, isn't a herring a bird? Herring's a bird.
No, it's a fish. Herring.
It's a fish.
Yeah.
Is it?
Hey, you're thinking of a hummingbird.
No, I'm thinking of a herring. Like a
herring is a fish. H-E-R-I-N-G. Herring.
Yeah, could have swore it was a bird.
Well, here, that's almost as bad as stigmata.
Yeah.
Not quite, though. Not quite.
Yeesh, that's tough.
Stigmata was worse. There you go.
Sure,
tick.
Of course.
Oh, it's two R's. I thought it was one. Good
for you. Yeah, I'll try it with one R, see if it's a bird.
Yeah, I could be totally off base.
Try it with one R.
Is it actually that Swedish?
That would be funny.
I don't know if they're Swedish. It might be Icelandic.
Yeah, it most likely is. Anyway, let's move on here.
yeah, most likely is. Shut the fuck up. Coming up next, here on the
viewer
sports
questions. Moving
sure.
on.
Important. That's important.
Important
let's
stuff.
Let's go.
First question comes from Sean Nowak. Appreciate the question, Sean. Rank your top five grill items. I hate the idea of stepping on the Burnley Dumb Show stuff. So let's not do top five. You don't have to rank them, but just give me three or four items on the grill that your go-tos.
Steak,
burgers. Burgers. You can't go wrong with a good burger on a grill. Dog. Love a good dog
steak,
on the grill.
Ribs and chicken wings.
Yeah.
Chicken wings. Great.
Yeah. Steak is great, but
ribs are still on the table.
Burger, dog,
ribs are still
instead of dog. I would go with like an Italian sausage, like a
also great
bratwurst. Yeah, that's sure. It's tough to beat.
Yeah, maybe a nice herring would go well on the grill.
Yeah, some pickled herring from Scandinavia.
Cedar plank. If you use a cedar plank on the grill,
yeah. Oh my god.
Maybe some pork belly. I don't know. Sounds good.
Pork chop on the
pork
grill.
Chop.
Delicious.
Sure, as long as
Mikey's
you don't try it out.
Mikey's just devastated. We didn't get that pork chop from Talladega.
Oh, yeah, that was tough. That was a tough.
By the way, it was a beautiful day.
These people were talking about this pork chop, man. They talk better about that pork chop than I talk about my kids. That pork chop from
at Talladega in Alabama?
Apparently, Perry's has the best pork chop in the universe, apparently.
And you were jazzed up about it.
I was.
We were robbed of it because of potentially bad weather, which never, you know,
that was tough.
You guys are going to do an entire year's worth of NASCAR deal and not go to a single race.
It's unbelievable. Actually,
we still yet to see a single car go around the track.
I haven't even fucking seen an oil change yet, let alone a race.
Yeah,
I haven't seen a car.
Closest I came was Joe in a fucking go-kart in a fucking indoor go-kart stadium against Perez. That was the closest I came to a NASCAR race.
We haven't even seen the cars yet, Mikey.
No. They're probably cool though, I would imagine. They go really fast.
Yeah, hey, they sure do. And they turn left too. Don't turn right NASCAR. So well.
We really do.
But I'm shocked they didn't even just send you there just in case that they would
Dude. It was a whole conversation.
It was a big thing.
The whole conversation.
It was a big old thing.
Oh, yeah, well,
we even all said, we were like, we can stay for Monday. Like, if they move the race to Monday, no problem. We'll all stay for Monday.
Mm. But okay, well.
Not the direction NASCAR wanted.
Anyway, and you missed out on the pork chop, too.
I'll have to watch Talladega Nights now to get an idea of what Talladega is actually like.
Sure. Yeah, fun movie.
A little shake and bake. I didn't get either.
Yeah, no, you didn't. All right, moving on here. Let's go to Ben. Ben asks, does Tiger belong on the Champions Tour? Kind of a shot.
Not yet.
You don't think so?
I mean, he's the greatest of all time. Let the guy play until he's ready to go and call it. Like, what are you going to tell him that he's not allowed to participate in a fucking PGA tournament anymore? Like, this guy is literally, there's no one better.
Yeah, but he can't play four rounds of golf at all anymore.
Well, you know what? Then he's going to have to make that decision.
Yeah, he should
make that decision that he's not equipped to do that anymore. But after everything he's done for the PGA Tour, sure. And by the way, the fact that didn't go to live, or he's been the face of the tour for so long, they just got to let him do him, man. And when he's ready to say no more, then that's it. By the way, if you're the tour, you want him to keep playing because the amount of crowds and audience that this guy drives every time he goes and plays a tournament is just helping them out. It's not hurting. You know, like if Tiger Woods says he's playing in a PGA tournament, everyone wants to be there to watch him because he only has so many tournaments left. So I say just let him make that decision for himself.
Do you think if he went to the Champions Tour, the viewership for the Champions Tour would go up?
Fuck yes.
Okay.
100%.
Interesting.
Here's the thing about that. Like, listen, it's not like Tiger's going out there, but on the one hand, I agree with Ticket. It's hard to watch. Like I agree.
He made the cut at the Masters. He was better than half the field on Saturday and Sunday. He did. I understand that, totally. Tick, but he made the cut. He beat half the field.
But that's right. That's what I was going to say in his defense, in Tiger's defense, besides the fact that he's the best ever. If you want to say Jack maybe, or you want to make an argument, okay, you can make, there's grounds for arguments. Sure. But there's guys on the tour that have a lot of hype that are younger guys, and man, do they stink when it comes to comparison. They're not, you got these guys, like, listen, it's hard to say, man, because
Steve,
it's tough for me to give
Thomas, these guys are missing the cut. Tiger's still making it.
Yeah, I feel bad.
He didn't play on the fucking Sunday, but
for some reason, I will let my opinions fly about football and basketball, baseball. I'll let my opinions fly and I'll put anybody in the dirt. But golf is like different. I just hold it in a different regard to the fact that I only started playing last year. And like, I don't want to say anything that people are going to be like, oh, this fucking guy, he doesn't even fuck. But speak strictly from a betting and a fan perspective, these guys, like Joe just mentioned, these guys are, they're not making cuts. They're stinking up the joint. So yeah. I think Tiger has earned the right to at least call it when he wants to call it. I think if he was missing every cut, if he was going out there and he was looking like Joe Blow golfer,
yeah,
like he could, then it's a different story altogether. But, you know, if he could at least just make cuts every once in a while, I think he's earned the right to
not
make
only
that
make
choice
the cut. I mean, on Saturday, up on the fifth hole when he birdied, he was like legitimately five, six strokes back from the lead. It wasn't like he was 15 strokes back. Right. Like he was in it. And then, yeah, I get it, Tick. He's got fatigued and, you know, he slowed down and he's.
I also never said I think he belongs on the Champions Tour. I simply said that it's hard to watch him try and play four rounds of golf.
I agree.
I understand, it's not the same guy.
I'm not saying he belongs on the Champions Tour, though, too,
because we hold him in a certain light in our brains, because even a non-avid golf fan growing up in our generation, You watch Tiger Woods.
Everyone knows who Tiger Woods is.
He was the Hulk Hogan of golf. He was the Michael Jordan of golf. He was the Wayne Gretzky of golf. He was, you know, the most astounding thing we had ever seen. And if we didn't
or know, ever will see.
And if we didn't know it at the time because we were too young, the reactions of our family or friends who were older than us and understood the game better told us that he was the greatest thing they had ever seen.
So, oh, yeah.
With their reactions. So, you know, to that point, I do believe that he has earned the right once again to be in the position to make that decision himself. But I agree with Ticket. It is tough to watch someone who was of that caliber seem to struggle with physically being able to get through four rounds. That's tough to watch. It's tough to watch that because you want him to be that. You want him to have that moment again where it's kind of like, oh my God, look at Tiger, you know, doing. And I don't know if I don't know. Like, do you guys think that he'll win an event this year?
No,
no.
But he doesn't need to win an event.
No, he does. No. He doesn't need to do shit. He never needs to. He never needs to play in another tournament ever. He could stop today. It doesn't matter. He's the best.
He won the Masters in 2019, 5 years ago, which was like one of astounding. The greatest feats astounding. Ever.
Yes.
And I mean, honestly, at this point now, like when Michael Jordan played for the fucking Washington Wizards does anybody expect him to take that team to win the championship? No, but there are games he put up 50 points and everybody was like, yo, this guy's still like got it. He shows snippets of being incredible. Nobody said like this guy needs to retire and go play in the G League. Like I think at that there's a certain level of respect at this point, what he's brought to golf and what he's brought to, you got to remember too, he did this in an era where, you know, as a black golfer, you know, somebody who changed the game, he changed the whole outcome of you know, basically paving the way for people all over the world to be like, you know, anybody can play this game. You know what I mean? Like he's a generational player. I think, you know, he's competitive enough that at some point he will be cognizant that he can't play anymore and he'll call it quits when he's not able to compete anymore.
There you go. Let's do one more. It's from Kaiser Oberlin. What are the 7 wonders of the sports world? Wild question.
Or what
the fuck is that?
What are the 7 wonders? You know, like the 7 wonders. Could you know the 7? You know the 7 wonders. Let's name the 7 wonders of the world.
I mean, we can't name the 7 wonders of the world, but I know what the question entails. I know what he's asking. Like, what are the most astounding?
Is it Niagara Falls one of them?
I don't think so.
God, I hope it.
Mount Everest got to be one of them.
I don't know.
I think. Oh fuck! This is hard.
And I think it's like.
No, the pyramids
The Great Wall of China.
The pyramids have to be one. Come on.
No, that's not correct. You ready?
But the Swedish
Great Wall of China.
Okay.
Christ the Redeemer in Brazil.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Rio de Janeiro.
The Roman Colosseum. Shout out, Rome's. Taj Mahal.
Oh, that's a good one.
Machu Picchu. Petra and Chichen. Chichen Itza.
That's the Mexican ruins.
That looks like a pyramid though, Ticket.
Yeah, I mean,
it's pretty close.
Like, man, I've been to Machu Picchu too. I should have known that one. How is Taj Mahal on there and the pyramids aren't? That makes no sense. I think we need 8 wonders. Pyramids have to be.
Well, they always say the 8th wonder of the world, but they said that was Andre the Giant. That was always there.
Sure. Yeah.
But as 7 wonders of the sports world, I guess it would be like maybe sports feats or players. Who are the wonders, perhaps certain feats
or records, places?
Places, sure.
I'd say MSG's got to be one of them.
Yeah, I don't think, I mean, I don't
Lambeau
know. Lambeau
Field.
I don't know
Lambeau
if he's asking
Field.
Locations. I don't know if that's what this guy's asking.
But the 7 wonders of the world that we just listed are they are locations.
I'd say they're locations.
No, they are, but I'm just saying like.
So let's go based on locations.
Okay. So it's so Mike, you're saying.
Do that. I'm not
okay,
gonna do that.
So you're saying more like Michael Jordan winning 3 in a row, and then
each person give 2, and then we'll come up with the extra one.
Okay,
so Tick, you give your 2.
I'll go with Michael Jordan, the back to back three-peats.
The three-peat. Okay, yeah. Jordan three.
No, the back to back three-peats. Because yeah, he won three-peat. But he did he did three, then he took 2 years off, and then he did another three.
All right. MJ three-peats.
Yeah. And then I'll go he's not the home run leader anymore, but when Roger Maris did it, that was a special. Mm-hmm. That was special.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna go with Roger. That man, a wonder of the world. Maybe that's not deserving.
Yeah, it's tough to go. Somebody's record was broken.
Yeah,
I'm not saying that like a dick. I'm just saying that's tough.
I'll go with the 1927 Yankees, Murderers Row.
Okay. See, I'll go now, and I hate to do another Yankee, but I'm going to say it's Joe DiMaggio's 56 game hit streak. That's a record. Okay. I don't think that record in today's MLB, when these guys don't hit for average, especially anymore, I think that's a record that'll never be. I don't think anyone will ever beat that record. That's a record that will stand the test of time, in my opinion. And then give me Brady's seven rings. I mean,
that's what I was going
to
say.
Yeah. Brady's seven rings to me has got to be, he's got seven, right?
Yeah. He's got seven. Belichick's got six. Yeah.
Okay. Right. Seven. Yeah. That to me is something that I don't think, I mean, listen, I guess Mahomes has got what now? Three. Patty's got three.
Yeah. Three.
Yeah. He's got three.
Okay. So, I mean, listen, I guess if there's anybody who could come close, but I still don't think he will. I think Brady seven rings is the end all be all.
I would go with Jack Nicklaus's 18 major championships.
There you go. Now we're talking.
Very nice.
I don't think anybody's going to touch that, man.
And
well, the Tiger Woods Masters 5 is pretty impressive too. Like if we're looking just strictly at golf, how about this one? Will Chamberlain, 100 points in a fucking game.
Yeah.
No one is ever going to do that.
You want to see? Hey, hang on. What? Check this out.
Oh my God.
Is it a picture of Wilt Chamberlain?
I got very excited there.
I got a piece of the wood floor from that game.
Get the Are you fuck serious? Out of here.
That's a piece. They were handing it out at a Sixers game probably 10 years ago. That's a piece of wood. I got the
they were handing them out?
Yeah, well, they cut them all up. They cut them up all into little blocks. Just
keep it in your living room?
Unbelievable.
Of course, I keep it right next to my TV.
Do you know what Chamberlain averaged in the 1961 season? 50.4 points a game. 50! Yeah.
That 100-point game was a big help.
And there's the wood from it to prove it.
That's exactly right.
Listen, people can laugh. 100 points. And Kobe scored 81. It was like the most unbelievable thing ever. No one's scoring 100 points. The game would have to go to like 7 overtime.
That also, a lot of people think that happened in Philadelphia. It did not. It happened in Cleveland. So that's a piece of Cleveland's floor, by the way.
Wow.
That is the most random thing. Yeah. Oh, the Canucks are already losing this fucking
team. Oh, boy. Yeah, okay, so collectively, we need one more, and I think something international, maybe something soccer. You guys know more about soccer, but I feel like we should go international.
Brazil's 5 World Cups is probably – well, I mean, that could be duplicated, though. I mean, Italy's got 4. Germany's got 4. So, I mean, like, it's not – how about Nolan Ryan, 7 no-hitters. He's through. Nolan Ryan. That's pretty fucking wild. Cy Young, 749 complete games. Barry Bonds, 120 intentional walks in one season.
Ty Cobb, over 4,000 hits. I don't think anyone's ever gonna get there. It was not Ty. It was Ty Cobb and what's the guy's name? Who betting? He got Pete Rose. Are the only two guys over 4,000 hits, I believe. That.
How about Michael Phelps, 23 gold medals?
That's a good one. That's a great one.
Jerry Rice, 22,895 career receiving yards. That's that. So somebody would have to put up 1,150 yards for 20 consecutive seasons or 1,500 yards for 15 seasons. That's preposterous.
Doesn't Man City have like way more championships than anyone? Aren't they like the Yankees over there? Or is it Man United?
Man United, I believe.
Don't they have like an ungodly amount of championships that no one will ever get to as well? I think
Gretzky 2,857 points, Joe.
That's insane.
Yeah.
That's insane. I think the Michael Phelps one, no one's gonna get 23 gold medals.
No, right?
That was a spectacle when that was happening, too. That was a magical time.
It was wild, man.
It was great. How about
Bill Russell, 11 NBA championships?
Good one. That's very good.
One, too.
Tickets.
I can't believe Tickets got a piece of the floor.
Yes, sure do. How great is that?
That is the most
unbelievable thing.
Yeah. I got a lot of this shit around my house.
You know people sleep on, and he's going to be my problem next week, Yogi Berra.
Do they sleep on him, though?
10 World Series championship rings, bro. That's fucking outrageous. 10 rings. He's got a ring for every finger, Tick.
Hey, no, he sure does. Yeah.
Unless he was an amputee, then he's got an extra one for another.
Wow, man.
Didn't he have that famous play where the guy was stealing home and he like tried to spike him and he blocked the shit out of the guy?
Yeah, famously.
Was called out, and but he was actually safe or other way around.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, we really lost our way there towards the end with the seven wonders. But
of course we did.
The big goal of this podcast was to get Mikey out of his funk, and I think we did by the end here, pal.
What the fuck are
I think we got you in a real solid spot for bed now. I think you're in a real good place.
These fucking Canucks, man.
Anyway, these fucking Canucks. Mikey's happy. We're in a good spot. Gentlemen, next week we will have Kyle Long on. Sorry we missed him this week, but he was very busy, and we all get that. And you'll get him next week, guys. But until then, that's been Joey D, that's been Mikey V, and I am Ticket, and we will see you guys next week.